I'm under the blood of the Lamb. Safe fire from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. Again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for
your sacrifice, Father. You are worthy, Jesus. You are holy in this place today, God. You were the worthy sacrifice, Lamb.
Sacrifice.
Into the communion service. You guys can just stay up here during the service, but if we could have the men come forward and get ready to pass out the communion emblems, we'd invite you to do that today. We serve an open communion here. You don't need to be a member of this church to partake of communion. All that we ask is you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and then we ask you to partake. We will pray, and then you may be seated. Father, we thank you for this time in the service when we once again, think upon your sacrifice. Lord, once again, we're reminded of your love for us, that you loved us until the very end. You loved us to the death. And yet, Lord, you continue to love us today from your exalted position in the heavens. Lord, we know that you are looking down, smiling upon us today as we have this memorial service. And so we dedicate it to you. We pray that you would be honored and glorified through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have the worship team to sing once again for you. Think about the words as they sing it this morning. You may be seated as you are served.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place. King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. And Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. Humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Scripture says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's ask the blessing upon the cracker today that represents our Lord's body. Brother Don Stocker, would you do that, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the opportunity to come and remember your dying on the cross and for your body being broken. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough for your sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, just help us to continue to remember the gift that you've given us. We give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's partake together. After the same manner also, we took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Brother Rex, would you ask the blessing upon the cup this morning?
Lord Jesus, thanks for dying on the cross, Lord, and shedding your blood. So we just remember you as we drink this, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Dying for us and saving us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's drink together. Thank you for your blood. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you can show the Lord's death. The message this morning is really quite different. It's a story. I thought I would relate to you this morning the story of the Star Spangled Banner. Our nation was built upon some great foundations. Liberty was purchased. Some men paid the ultimate price, their death. Today I want to share with you one of our nation's greatest tributes, that which was paid for our nation's flag. Most of us know the words to the Star Spangled Banner. It's sung before every sporting event. And when the music starts, we start to sing, but we sing the song many times without knowing really what it means. We sing it without meaning, we sing it out of duty. Our national anthem was written by Francis Scott Key. Francis Scott Key was not a songwriter, but a lawyer. And as the battle raged for independence, the casualties grew heavy. Our government came to Francis Scott Key and asked him if he could arrange a prisoner exchange. In order to do this, he had to go by boat to visit a British naval vessel near Fort McHenry. American prisoners were being held on that ship. Key was authorized to go and to exchange one British prisoner for one American. And among the prisoners was a civilian, Dr. Beans. Key hoped that the British would agree to this prisoner exchange and this plan. When he reached the British ship, he was soon ushered into the presence of a man they called the Admiral of His Majesty's Fleet. Key explained the mission to the Admiral, and the Admiral agreed. He agreed to make the exchange, one British prisoner for one American prisoner. Key was beside himself. He was so excited. His mission was successful. And after a short while, he remembered that nobody had yet told the boys, the prisoners, about their freedom. So he asked the Admiral if he could be the one, if he would have the privilege to go below deck to tell the boys of their new freedom. The Admiral said, sure. The British sailors lowered Key's into the bowels of that great ship. And then he saw something that he said would never be taken from his mind. There in the darkness, he saw the prisoners chained to each other with every third prisoner fastened to the floor. As he looked around him and saw the condition that the prisoners were in, he knew that surely some of them would not live out the night. Key told them, "You are free. We've arranged for an exchange," he explained. They just looked at him with glazed eyes. They asked, "Mr. Key, are you telling us that we can go home?" "Yes, I am telling you that you are free and that you can go home." "Mr. Key, are we allowed to fight again?" "You don't have to fight. You paid too much already. Let us honor you now. Now is the time for you to be honored. For you, the battle is done. The battle is over." "Mr. Key, for us, the battle is not over until the cause is won. The battle is not over until we've secured what we've set out to do." Francis Scott Key found the Admiral and said, "Admiral, let's get these boys out of here." But the time between that he had talked to the Admiral and had came back from upstairs after talking to the boys, the Admiral's demeanor had changed. He said, "It doesn't matter what happens to these boys anymore." Francis Key was upset. "You can't go back on your word. As a gentleman and as an admiral in His Majesty's service, you cannot go back on your word. You must set these prisoners free." "No, I'm not going back on the word, Mr. Key. You see, there is not going to be an America tomorrow. It's all over." "What are you talking about?" "Mr. Key, I want you to see something." And he took Francis Scott Key over to the ship's port side. He said, "Look out, and what do you see?" Francis Scott Key said, "I see Fort McHenry. I see our flag blowing in the wind. I see our land. That's our land. This is the nation that I represent today." And then the Admiral took him over to the starboard side of the ship, and he asked again, "Now what do you see?" Francis Scott Key looked out, and he tried to see something, but he didn't see anything, and so he gave his answer, "Nothing. I see nothing except a lot of water." "Look closer. Look at where the water meets the sky and tell me what you see out there." "Well, all I see, sir, is some black specks, some tiny black specks just where the sea meets the sky." The Admiral responded, "Those are the British fleet. Soon they will be here. Our government is offering your government an ultimatum. Independence is over, and you will be subject to Britain. If the flag is not removed from Fort McHenry before the sun sets tonight, we will remove Fort McHenry. If the flag comes down before sunset, we will let your nation be. We will let you go in peace, but you must surrender your independence. I want you to know, sir, that either way, independence is over for America. But be warned, if the flag continues to fly after sunset, we will bring it down to the ground." Key stood And he watched the British ships slowly come in. But all of a sudden, they were coming in so quickly that he could not keep up counting them. He watched as they got their armament ready and prepared to do battle. And he thought to himself, no nation could successfully defend itself against such a fleet. Francis Scott Key goes back down inside the ship to see the prisoners. He tells them the sad turn of events, and they respond, Mr. Key, you must tell them to not lower the flag. He said, I'm on ship here too. How do I tell them not to lower the flag? Mr. Key, you must tell them. You must find a way. Tell them not to lower the flag. But he said, if they lower the flag and surrender, you men are free to go. But if they don't lower the flag and if they don't surrender, all of you may die. It doesn't matter what happens to us, they responded. All that matters is what happens to that flag. Mr. Key, you must let us know what's happening. We have to know what's going on. We can't see down here, and we need to know what is going on. You see, there are some cracks in the decking. Those of us that are not chained to the floor will put their ears to the cracks, and you scream down through those cracks, and you tell us what is happening. Francis Scott Key went back on deck. He watched. He waited. He wanted to see if somebody would come and take down the flag. Would any American remove the flag? When it was almost sunset, he realized nobody is going to come and take it down. Suddenly, he heard orders to fire and the sound of 100 cannons fired in unison. He heard screams. The prisoners were yelling, Mr. Key, what is happening? He yelled back to the prisoners, I can't see. It's too dark. And they said, watch for the red glare as the bombs burst. As the bombs burst and the red glare appears, you should be able to see the flag. Can you see the flag? And yes, there in the red glare, he saw the flag. All through the night, the British, the fleet pounded that flag. Finally, between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, there was silence. Deadly, deathly silence. The British had used up all their ammunition. Was the flag still standing or not? Francis Scott Key had no idea. And so he waited, and he waited, and he waited for the dawn. And finally, as the sun began to rise and dawn shone forth, there stood the flag. America had not fallen. Francis Scott Key quickly made his way to Fort McHenry, and there he saw something that he would never forget. The flag had been hit again and again and again. Because of the pounding that the flag had taken, it had dropped. And a patriot, a man whose name we will never know, ran from a place of safety and had run for the flag. And he took that flag and he held it against his own body. He knew that all the guns were aimed at the flag. He knew that his body would be riddled with bullets. He knew that he was giving his life. He knew that he would die. And he died quickly. And another man saw what the first man had done. And he ran for the flag. And he held it against his body. And he died. And another man ran for the flag. And another, and another, and another. And another, until a cement of human bodies in their own mortar of blood held that flag in place. Francis Scott Key took a pen and began to write, Oh, say can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars, through the perilous flight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, and the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet shine o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? God bless America. May the spirit of those patriots who gave their lives, may that spirit continue to live. May it live on inside of you and inside of me. And now we're going to take our songbooks and we're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. You're going to sing it with a little more meaning today because you know the price that was paid for that flag to continue to stand and to fly. Page number 582 in your hymnal, let's stand as we give reverence today. 582. Let's sing that first verse, the verse that we are most familiar with, our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light, so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose stripes and bright stars through the perilous night, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly America. Lord, we thank you for this great country that was built upon a godly foundation. Lord, we thank you for the people that paid the ultimate price for our freedom. They paid with their lives. Lord, may we not take our freedom for granted. And I pray for America, Lord, that we would be revived and that we would turn back to our roots, that you would surely be able to bless America again. Lord, I pray for a revival of morals. Lord, I pray for a great awakening that would take place, that people would see their lost condition and they would turn to you, that America could return to its glory days. As truly we place our trust in you, we put our trust in God. Once again, may you grant it, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I pray that you all have a good Independence Day this week. You think about the price for liberty, and you make sure that on July 4th, you once again give God thanks for our freedom and pray for our continued freedom and God's blessing. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Special thank you to the visitors. Glad that you came. Invite you all to the park at this time. If you don't know how to get there, you can actually just go out on this road and keep going straight through the stop sign. Glen Hills is out of town on the right-hand side. You go to the second entrance. The second entrance will be the day use area. You might want to carpool and save as much money as you can that way. God bless you. You are dismissed.